been putting it off for a while, but it's hard to find now, 'cause the truth is too clear that I cry when I'm seeing you smile. The goodbye so long, the road calls me dear, and you did not find me.
Welcome to KS. Say amen and say anybody, somebody.
Anybody, somebody.
But the reason I picked that song is me and Carl was talking a lot. Say hello, Carl.
Hello, Carl.
About Tom Waits that week, and this is pretty much off his favorite album of him, Closing Time. Which is pretty much my favorite album, too.
Yeah. I've gotten to be a real fan of Waits over the years. Not when he first came out. It took me a while. But, yeah, he's very, very good.
Yeah. It's like I said, we go into the bar at the opening of the night thinking that we're Leonard Cohen, all suave and smooth. And with Tom, we walk out of the bar, Tom Waits.
Yep. Yep.
Black History Month, and we're doing Say Amen, Everybody, which is a very great and very dense documentary on Southern gospel music.
And
it has
criteria.
The founders in it.
Right?
What?
Thomas Dorsey. Well, I just said it's on Criterion for those of us that want to follow along. Also, you know, you were talking about the founders, Thomas Dorsey. I think Mahalia Jackson's in here. So many great people.
There are just so many great documentaries from about 79 to 82 that it was an era in itself. Hearts and Minds, Say Amen, Anybody. It was like they were becoming documentary film. And clinical documentary that was big in the 60s and 70s.
Right. Yeah, they were doing more social things and more like introductory to history of certain subjects. And this is certainly one where we're getting into gospel, particularly Southern gospel music. I think it's the first one that really focused on this.
But unlike them, this has the human side to it, and it kept the human side. And really, if you got the human side going, you're going to win.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
So we got it on, it's on Black History Month. And it on Criterion, and it's Say Amen, Somebody. And we got it at 000.
Yep, we
and
do.
And we're lucky. Tonight we have with us someone who was an okay choral master in his day.
Still I am to a certain degree. I do have a music master's in church music, and I have... There'll be a couple people that I'll mention during that I've interacted with over the years. But, yeah. Thank you.
Talk about, you keep it to history, my man.
I know. I will. I will.
We already know you love yourself. Not in the divinals way, either, people.
No, you know, it depends on the night, okay? Never mind.
Okay, and here we go in 5, 2, 1. Go to church now.
Got it.
Stone film release.
Yep.
Major endowment for this film is the National Endowment for the Humanities.
Mm-hmm.
Man, remember the days when you could see an independent film like that and you went, who is that, Carl?
I don't know.
That, you know
I think,
that
is Thomas Dorsey.
Tell us a little bit about Mr. Dorsey.
So Thomas Dorsey was a choir master. He started out in blues music, but he then went into church music, and he added the blues.
And there's Willie Naismith.
Yep. Oh, God bless.
The best film is if they did a documentary about Elvis and basically the great creators.
Okay.
And even Elvis said if it wasn't for this kind of gospel music, he wouldn't have had his music.
No, and that's very true. You could also say that about Ray Charles, anyone that came up in the late and in the mid-50s. Because, you know, Gladys Knight, you know, all of them went through the church and choirs like this. And Southern gospel is so much different, or, well, black gospel, let's just say. It's so
Southern
much different
gospel.
Because it has so much emotion to it. And
I love this scene right here because it shows her going to like a nursing home. Cussing spirit. I know someone who's guilty of getting the cussing spirit, but let's not talk about that, right, Carl?
Yeah, we both do. We're both in there.
You're an amateur. I'm a professional.
Basically,
I just love this.
Kills both of us.
Is what church is. It's about love. It ain't about this. Right, girl?
Yeah. Not right. And what you're seeing here is something that is wonderful in terms of you know, the black church, is that it's so receptive to everyone. And
yeah.
you could just see it here.
Open
these
arms.
These people are committed to God.
To.
It's all about the. It's all about what they call oppressive gospel. In other words, you're oppressed by people, and it's now called justice confirmation.
Yeah.
Justice theology.
I'd wake up every Sunday morning when I was down in Nashville, my man. And it was about 7, 8 a.m. Turn on the radio.
And you'd hear music like this.
This.
Absolutely.
And that's a big difference between the gospel like they're singing and the old school gospel is
right.
The honky tonk addition to the honky tonk piano and the blues style of singing.
Oh, absolutely, and they'll go through some of the history here of how this developed this type of music, and we'll get into that a little later. But there's a definite you know, through line from the slaves in the 1800s and 1700s, late 1700s, until this music was basically. And let me tell you something. Any gospel singer owes their whole life to the pianist. Seriously.
They owe their souls to Willie Mae, Tommy Dorsey. Love is Willie Mae and her daughter just sitting in the kitchen.
I've traveled extensively from coast to coast, north, east, and west. What were we doing? And singing to great crowds and small crowds.
Not like these snake oil salesmen you see nowadays that go from church to church and just worry about how much time is on the plate.
Well, music is a universal way of proselytizing, and you can, and if you're a musician, you always learn about, you know, I mean, I played in black churches, and I'm a white guy, and I don't have the soul these people do, but still, in talking to them and that, you get a feel, and it transfers to you, and really does.
Very unknown.
Carl, no soul caper. You have a little more soul than No Soul Jones, but let's not. But yeah, I love it. They're talking about teaching. They go everywhere and they teach.
Oh, yeah.
Spread the love, spread the gospel, teach.
Yeah. It's about proselytizing. It's about teaching. It's about sharing the gospel, sharing the feeling of being a believer. Okay, you're bleeding somewhat, my friend.
That was the radio station, brother.
Was
no,
that
really
the radio station you listened to? KIRL? Nice.
Yeah. And do you know what's special about that church that she's at?
Mm-hmm.
Really, do you know what's
church
special
that was,
about it?
Yeah. Was that King's Church?
It was the church that, you remember Mississippi Burning and those kids?
Yeah, uh-huh.
That was the church right there where they went to on that day, and then that church got burnt down and built up.
Mm-hmm.
So this history. Look how they move, and I love they got rich.
Oh, yeah.
And I love how they pay homage to this in that one scene in The Harder They Come, too.
Yeah. Oh, man. I love this stuff. I love it. If you've never been in a Black Baptist church, this gives you an idea. It's just wonderful. And it's not entertainment.
I'm too white.
Mm-hmm. It's not entertainment. It comes from the heart. You notice the congregation.
Yeah, even though it comes from my heart, I'm still too white to get those notes.
Oh, yeah.
And look how they're all in time.
Oh, yeah.
How much crazy would it be to drive you when you had all your up there singers actually see the one person who wasn't in time with everyone else.
Choir director.
No. Yay. Ask you a question, Carl.
What?
How was it watching the people that you declare minister, and you noticed that one person who was not into someone else?
Mm.
How crazy did that drive you?
Doesn't matter. When you're in church, when I've had choirs, there was the one person who couldn't sing. I didn't care. You know, they wanted to go and express their belief through music.
Yeah.
They were welcome.
When it comes to gospel, choral music, Southern Black gospel, Tommy Dorsey is the man. There's just no other way to describe it. Oh, right now he's telling how they didn't like this music.
No, they didn't.
They had to fight to get it into the church because they said, you just bring in that honky-tonk music in the church.
Yeah.
We'll sing a convention in St. Louis.
And you are, my friend.
You know where that is, Carl?
Well, that's Dorsey that's talking right now.
Yeah. I've been past that church pulling into the bus station on the Grey Dog.
Damn.
Yeah, I recognize that neon sign.
No,
that's true.
No question.
Yeah, if you are a good ministry, you open your heart and love to anyone in there, and how would you have killed to have an original edition of that in your collection?
I've seen them. We used to sell those, and some of them were very, very old from the 30s and 40s.
And I bet they cost a lot, too.
No, they didn't cost hardly anything. They'd sell them for whatever was on them. If it said 30 cents on the damn thing, that's what they sell for.
Whoa. I love
now, that's back in the 80s.
Now, be quiet, Carl. I want to listen to everyone because this is the truth. Everyone listen to this.
Enjoy. Done my best. When I've done the best I can.
Sir, you are bleeding, my friend.
I know, it's on purpose.
Okay. Never mind.
I want people to know that voice they just heard.
Mm-hmm.
Was an 89 or 90-year-old man. And he's definitely still singing from the heart.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Man.
Hey! Hey! Hey!
And what they're doing here, he's not just singing. He's preaching. He's in music to preach.
Sorry if that we're singing or playing the music, but this movie is about the music. That's what the forefront is.
And notice that this is coming. This is an emotional release. This is one thing about black choirs versus white choirs.
Yeah.
White choirs are like, you know, so set. And we have to be within these boundaries, and we have to have the time right now. Not black choirs. They will just go where the spirit leads them.
Oh, speaking of set, there's a good chance that this show is going to be going over the regular two-hour limit. So I'm sorry to the people who are listening on the two-hour format. We will be back, and it will probably be up by 10:20, 10:30. Sorry in advance. But thank you for listening to this. This show means a lot. This show and this movie means a lot to me and Carl from our hearts.
This is the song. This is the song that made him.
Wait
till
you hear the story behind this.
I know.
Be quiet, Carl. I'm gonna make it bleed again so they can hear the story. If they listen.
And Uncle said for me to come up to the door. There's some boy brought me in the telegram. I took it, read it, almost fell out. It says, hurry home. Your wife just died. I don't know how you would accept that. I couldn't accept it at all. And a friend of mine put me in the car. Took me right home. I got home. I jumped out and ran in to see if it was really true. And one of the girls, you started crying and said, Nettie just died, Nettie just died, Nettie just died, and fell on the floor. The baby was left alive. But in the next 2 days, the baby died. Now, what should I do then and there? And then they tried to tell me things that would be soothing to me. But none of it's never been soothing to me from that day to this day. But two fellows come by, I forget their names, they were friends of mine. And they were telling me about it. And I said, I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to do. And I just tried to make my little talk to the Lord, but it was wasted, I think. And I called the Lord some one thing, and one of the others says, no, that's not his name. He said, Precious Lord. So that just sounded good. It's got several amens on Precious Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, I started singing right then and there. Precious Lord.
Okay, girls, take it. What's so important about this song?
Well, this song has been sung in churches ad infinitum every minute of the day. I am positive for every day since it was published. There are over 300 to 400 versions of this in choirs that have been sung over the years. There are many versions that have nothing written, and particularly black. And it's just so standard. And you can hear any great blues singer has done this song. Etta James, Gladys Knight, Chaka Khan, so many. And, of course, now you're getting, now that's the woman. That's her. That's Mahalia Jackson.
Yeah. And I've heard of a different version of this, Precious Memories.
Mm-hmm. Mahalia Jackson was someone that was as important as Dorothy, because Mahalia Jackson took this music and was able to cross the boundary so that wide audiences got to know these songs also. My grandmother, who was a white Baptist believer, she loved Mahalia Jackson. And I'm very young and listening to Mahalia Jackson. I have a great love and respect for what she did. Seriously.
And what did you think of that story behind the song and why he wrote it?
Well, I knew the story, actually.
I knew
the story. Out of the greatest tragedies can come something very special, and that's what happened here. The best song is very special. I've taught it to my choirs over the years, many different
versions. Amen. Sometimes the worst tragedy leads to the most beautiful things.
Yeah. And I wish that was 100% true, but it's not. You have to be open to see what you can do, and that's what he did.
Oh, yeah, that's something I miss. That's something I really miss, man.
What?
The dinner table.
Oh, yeah.
I hope they may come over. You sit there at the dinner table. Sorry, Carl.
What?
I hope you ate before this because...
I did, actually. I did. But one of the things about churches, and this was very true of black churches, is that the idea of food after the service, of sharing food and sharing...
Carl, take out the word black. Put in the word Southern.
Southern. Okay.
Yeah, because they would go have church in the morning and... And in between services, they would have like a big dinner outside so no one would have to go home before the evening services.
Right. And,
but,
you know,
yeah,
you talk about
always
Southern
been a great Southern family tradition is the breaking of the bread.
Well, you know, you're right, because the word is not black hospitality, it's Southern hospitality. Right?
Yeah. And to quote Babe Ruth and Ty Cobb, he said, "What do you miss most about the Negro Leagues?" And they said,
"The food."
"I miss going to the black houses afterwards and eating the best food I've ever ate in my life."
Yeah, exactly.
A wicked city.
Now,
the preacher, you go down there and teach the people. Down there and tell them what I say. When you read your Bible, you know that.
I love to think of they're trying to get the young boy here to go into the ministry, and he really doesn't know if he wants to.
Right.
Yeah, you need to follow God's word or you're going to hell. Mom, I'm not sweet like you.
I want to be at that dinner table. Seriously.
I love they're giving you the whole experience and not just one of those like some music documentary I've seen where they focus too much on the music and they don't focus on the world around the music.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Hey, that's one of my favorite turns. I'll take a wash up.
I will say this. One of the greatest times in my life was when I went with a black minister and I worked with his choir director, and played this cantata at a black Baptist church. I'm the only white person within miles. I guarantee you that. Every 5 minutes, a minister like this would get up and praise our white brother for being here. And let me tell you something. That thing started at 9. That service didn't end until 2 o'clock, then they added dinner afterwards. I had such a blast. It was so much fun.
Yeah, that's how it was. It was about from 9 to about 2 and about 12 to 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah. Generally about 9 to about 12:30, 1 o'clock, then you had the dinner. After.
9 is when they would separate them into three parts. They would have the kids ministry, the teen group, and the adults would be upstairs listening to some preaching. And then after we got done with ours, we'd go up there and listen to the rest of the preaching.
Exactly.
That's all right.
Oh, man. Look at her.
It's very hard for a documentary to get the love into it, but this movie is... Mwah.
But it's also call and response. That's all right. And she's saying that's all right. It's all about call and response. That brings the congregation into it. They feel part of the music. And that's important. That's one thing where Black Baptists and gospel music in general has over more standard traditional church music. Which
oh, yeah.
You know, I'm a practitioner of.
Well, wouldn't you get up every morning, every Sunday morning about 5 a.m. if you knew a radio station back when you was a youngling that was playing this?
Yeah, not, if I would have known, perhaps, but not my family. You know what we woke up with on Sunday night, on Sunday morning?
Yeah.
My dad playing the record player as loud as he could, Beethoven's Ninth Choral Finale.
That's every one of the things Sunday. That most people forget about Tommy Dorsey's history, is that he was a great blues man before he
Absolutely.
Was a religious man.
Yeah.
How cute. Na, 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 na. I know this song. Because on that black station right after the religious music was over, gospel music was over, 2 hours of the old school blues. I may have lost sleep on Sunday, but it was worth it, man. Wouldn't change it for the world.
And
the woman feeling bad. Hey, you know Walter Hill had to sing this movie. Right, Carl?
Right. The blues ain't nothing but a good woman feeling bad.
And how did they paraphrase it in Crossroads?
It was not woman, it was a man. Right?
Yeah, blues ain't nothing but a good man feeling bad.
Yep. I'm off the bottom.
Yeah, that's what most people don't realize. Modern black religious music started out as the blues.
Well, you see, okay, so no, actually I have to slightly disagree with that, because if you go back to the slaves and that, you get the spirituals, you know.
I know, but...
And from there... You get people like Hall Johnson and Jester Harrison and a number of people arranging those so that the black choirs. But then, see, when Dorsey in the early 1900s was a blues person, he then switched over to gospel, brought the blues along with him, and that's what they were really, really fighting.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Right?
The modern.
But right. Previously, you got to go back and get the through line, because it all started with spirituals, you know, and
the play. Modern. There's the pre-modern with the slave music, but the problem isn't with the blues coming into the gospel. It's trying to sell this to the secular audience. Who was like, one way, gospel's supposed to sound one way, and this is how it goes, and any other way is a disservice to God.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really going to start getting into that in this part of the movie, aren't we, Carl?
Mm-hmm. So basically what he would do is he would go to these churches and deliver these songs, and then he'd have the sheet music transcribed and sell it, or sell records. That's how he started. That's how he made the business.
Yeah, that's the one part of American pop that I really ignored and underplayed.
Mm-hmm.
The importance of sheet music.
The importance of sheet music is can't be understated. It really can't. Every song that was out on a 78 basically had sheet music. It was a popular song. And the way they sold it is they would sell it in tandem with the record. If the record was being played at a radio station, then they'd have the sheet music at the local store. Music store,
or
record store.
You would go to the music hall. I'm talking pre-record. I'm talking about when you had to go to the music hall. And if you liked that song, you had to buy the sheet music and had someone to be able to play it and take it back home.
But don't forget, back then in the 1890s, 1900s, 1910s, the idea of having a piano and having music in the home was entertainment. And so anyone that could do that, could afford it, wouldn't have
Yeah, like I said, my great-grandfather played guitar, so did my grandfather, sung with, you're going to poop when I tell you this. I don't think I ever told you this. My grandfather, before he came home to marry my grandmother, sang with the Sons of the Pioneers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
And my great-grandfather, before he became famous, Grandpa Jones, they said, used to come over there, and him and my great-grandfather would pick on the porch.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to bring a little something else into this, okay? And you're going to like this because it's Tennessee. So Dorothy was basically down south. I'm pretty sure in like South Carolina and that area, but in Tennessee, they had Fisk University, and Fisk is still, you know, extant, but primarily it's still a black university, and their choir
Lincoln.
Is one of the great choirs of all time, and very,
Lincoln.
Very influential.
Carl.
Yes.
Lincoln.
Lincoln?
Yeah, Lincoln University.
No, this is Fisk University.
What?
Fisk. F-I-S-K. Fisk. Okay,
well,
and their
know
corral.
I just know one in this area is Lincoln University, but yeah.
Yeah, but Fisk is I mean, their corral, their choir is well known as one of
the
greatest of the gospel
right
choirs.
Now is, Willie Mae talking to her and her grandson doesn't feel, and his grandson one of those that believed that no women should preach,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the woman
Which
should stand behind the man. I would never let me. You know why, Carl?
Why?
Can you imagine the damage a woman could do if you made her mad while she's... Well, you know the damage, you know. Right, Carl? One of them 20-minute ladies, you get behind you, and then 20 minutes later, you wake up like, what happened?
But getting back to Fisk, they were one of the proponents. And one of the main reasons why Thomas Dorothy's music became worldwide Because they did a number of 78s where, you know, it was all, they partnered with Dorsey's Music. And in fact, he would appear with them occasionally. I've actually had a couple of conversations with people who were in that choir. Now, this is, you know, they were in it in like the 60s and 70s. But still, you know, an amazing, amazing group of musicians in Tennessee who had a real influence on Southern gospel music and Black gospel music. So I wanted to make that
before
point.
Nashville and Memphis were tourist towns.
Exactly. Way before that.
And if you're wondering why she's talking about that and what her grandson said, well, my mother could not write a check by her own without approval by my dad until I was about 76 or 77.
That finally went under about 71 or 72, I think.
No, I'm serious. Down here, it was like 74, 75, 76. I was old. And my mother couldn't get her get an operation because she had trouble giving birth to her crazy ass son without my dad's approval, in case my dad wanted to have more kids. And that was in the 70s. So, yeah, this stuff is pretty much still real. No.
He fell in the elevator shaft. He did. Looking for me, not paying attention to this elevator that takes out the bag down in the basement. He's injured so bad. He couldn't get up after he stood out. And that man stayed that way about 8 years. Well, he said he was through. He wasn't going to buy anymore. When you realize you're not doing it just for Della. And get the children and the support of the children and the husband and the family, all that out of your mind. And she sold out there as a Christian.
Yes.
And you saw it on Lifeline, and Della, this is true that I'm talking to you today. God has a way for you to go. And you can do what God wants you to do. But you do it in the hand of Him leading.
I may not be the best.
Amen.
Yep.
And that goes... And that goes for everything. You know, someone's like, oh, I would try it, or I would do this, I would try this, I'm good at it, but I would try this, but I just don't know if I can make it.
Oh, damn. She's good.
Yeah. I mean, really, Carl, how would your life have been if you would have not made that silly little movie of yours, not made those plays of yours, not made your chance at being a comedian, even though you flopped at it. You can say something that most people are not able to do. And you know what that is?
What?
I tried.
Yep. I gave it my best shot, man. Exactly.
And the Lord provides, you know.
You see how the emotion comes out, though, and how it all transfers to, you know.
They're singing from the heart, not the belly, not the lungs. They're singing from the heart.
But you see how the energy transfers. From the choir to the
and look how they're building and building. And when it first showed, everybody was sitting there, and then all of a sudden, one person starts clapping, and then
But you know what? You're not going to see this reaction in an Episcopal church. Not one of my churches. You ain't going to see it.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, God, Carl's there again.
It's a shame. Seriously. It's a shame.
No, it's because they're disappointed that you're still there. But don't bother. Only joke, folks. Wait.
When you're anointed to sing, and that's what this department is started for, anointed singing.
It's the God singing when you're anointed to sing.
What? Tonight, when I have it bleeding, I have a reason for it.
Okay, I know. But what they're saying is,
so I did.
Going to singers.
Okay, now go, Carl.
So, anointed singers. Anointed singers is the idea that you are meant to be in front giving God's message out in song and in voice. You're not part of the choir. You are one of the special ones. And this is what a lot of the auditions, and this is true of Fisk, and this is true of talking to Jester Harrison, too. He's always looking for someone who has the emotion to bring out so that it transfers to the
congregation. I love that line you just said. You got a pretty mouth, but you can't be a pretty mouth and sing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sing it from your high above to it.
And you also have to be in tune, I'm just saying.
Well, that was no song at all, so no tune matters.
And this is this is the type of stuff that Jester Hairston used to say to me. He was one of our customers. He was a black choral director who did a lot of arrangements of spirituals and worked with black choirs.
Yeah.
And I asked him, what can I do with a white congregation? He looked at me like, good luck. And he would talk to me about some of this. What we're hearing here.
Yeah. You agree with what she's saying, Carl?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%.
Okay, quiet for a minute.
They call it gospel. Now, you want to go on that high track, okay, you're going up there. If you're going to sing the gospel, you must let it be a spell you cast on the people with your enunciation.
What do you say to that?
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I mean, you've seen the best singers in this movie. It's like they cast a spell on the audience and just gets the spirit in them.
Look how she opens her mouth and how wide that is and how all that emotion and tone is coming out of that.
Yeah.
As singers, we tend to be so.
Look at
inward.
Daniel Playo's mouth, people, and look at that grin on his face as he's playing.
Exactly.
And everybody around in the background, they just.
It all has to do with movement and how all the music
sisters.
Goes through the body.
Oh, yeah, I know them.
The Barrett sisters,
back. Yeah.
Forgive me, folks. I'm dealing with sinuses down here in Memphis, so.
Yeah. Amen. Okay, sorry, Carl. Say that again.
So, you know, not singing for show, but singing out of her belief. That's the whole point.
Yeah, you don't have to sing it. You have to believe it.
Mm-hmm. But singing your belief means that you're transferring your belief through your voice. That makes it much more emotional. And much more personal.
and the love.
Yeah.
That's why one of the best soul singers out of the 70s was the Reverend Al Green.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, as I said before, you know, Gladys Knight went through it. Chaka Khan went through it. Etta James, they all went through the gospel music. All of them. Bang it.
Well,
Reverend
Al did it backwards.
You know, and Lee Dorsey is another one that sang in church.
Yeah. Look how she's listening to it.
Yeah. See, the unsung hero in all of this is the piano player. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. You just heard that right there. You know, I shouldn't have to tell you that.
And I can't play gospel. I can't do it. Cannot do it. As much as I want to, I can't do it. I'm not
set up
for it.
Your plan is too sincere for gospel. And that's not an insult, that's a compliment.
I'm playing to the music. I'm the person that sees the music. I don't feel it. Right? You have to feel the music if you're a gospel. You know,
yeah.
I was taught to read music. And so that, you know, like an orchestral musician, right? And I just can't do gospel. I'd love to, but I can't. Cannot do it. But I can appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. It was stuff like this is why I got up around 7, 8 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
If you played the word, the church you was in, Episcopalian, yeah. That's a whole different rhythm and beat than this Southern Gospel. Right, Carl?
Yeah, but I'll tell you something, too. It's more that okay, so if I do a gospel-style song with my choir and Episcopal Church, just to get them to move away is almost impossible. And trust me, I try to do it all the time. They don't want to do that. They don't want to feel the music that way and let it go through them. And that's something
you
have
to
teach.
A choir to stand still. Anyone is the same.
No. Sway the music. Come on. You know, loosen up. You know, and you know, I've mentioned them a couple times here, but Chester Harrison was a customer of ours at Carl Fisher, and we had numerous conversations. Okay, I'll be quiet.
Yeah, you got all the contemporary artists doing the gospel music, and of course, it's crossing over and it's selling.
I know as far as you're concerned, I would like to just do the traditional and be able to come down the middle to with some contemporary and, you know, bridge it together where you can reach, you know, both sides. But you got this young crowd out here now. A lot of the older folks, 20 years ago, I think you got to have both of them. I think you got to come down the middle. That they really like it.
And how hard is that, Carl?
You hear it occasionally, but you don't hear it that much where the younger artists are going full gospel. And these days, you know, with hip-hop and that sort of thing and sampling, You're not. It doesn't seem to be happening at all now. Now, I'm not that familiar in terms of that type of music.
Well, I'm just talking about music, you know, religious music, period.
Mm-hmm.
That
you can hear it occasionally, as I said.
For your older audience, you also can in the younger audience, too.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Music is evangelism here. It's not about, you know, trying to sell records. It's evangelism.
Yeah.
Sharing the belief of God.
And what are this that went into, like, plays, the Southern Church plays?
Uh-huh. But they're not actually singing. It's almost like they're preaching, right?
Yeah.
Because there are spaces between the phrases and everything.
Remember that piano player said to him a little earlier, come on, man, what are the spaces? What are the And while this is great, is you can have people come in and listen to it, and they wouldn't know music.
Uh-huh.
They would just think it's a soul music. The best way to describe this is imagine this song and the so-called biggest religious song in the 70s, You Light Up My Life. The most blandest, boring religious song I've ever heard. What do you think, Carl?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. White music is pretty bland. I'm going to grant you that.
What?
But this, just feel the emotion here.
Yeah.
How can you not react to this?
Amen.
And take a look at the praise bands and white AOG churches and that sort of thing. Like the emotion here.
Yeah. I'm sorry. All I seen was the Orange Crush signs. Oh, I miss them so much.
And she would with her sister, Delargoy. And sometimes I think she'd over a little prayer to get the spirits moving in that church.
The Lord is in this morning temple, all of us, all to keep silent and reverence and distress. That's cool before
it. Isn't it sad that more people don't go to church nowadays than in the old days? What used to be a ritual is now most people become an obligation.
Well, I think it's more than that. I think that you don't see, I think a lot of these preachers that you see in these mega churches, they're not real. They're not there to spread the gospel. They're there that they want to line their pockets. And I think that has really, really soured so many people, and particularly younger people. On the church. And I think that's a shame. This is real. This is community-based. This is small, even if it's a larger church. It's community. We are all one. Right? We're going to give to each other. We're going to support each other. And that's what a church should do.
This tiny wood side is. Like kitchen chairs.
Mm-hmm.
There's no big fancy pews. There's no stained glass windows.
No. You know, and this is a very urban style church, to be honest. You saw it at the beginning and a bunch of row businesses. But you know what? This is true of any church. I was very blessed to work in a church in a little town called Fairmont, Maryland, an Episcopal church. And the woman that was the priest there, Pastor Sally, he specifically worked within the community and did thrift shops and food banks and did all this stuff to help the community. And that, to me, is what a church should do. And on these small black churches that we're seeing here, even medium-sized, it's all about, you know, support of the congregation, support of your family. That's the whole point of going to church, to find like-minded people that will support you and you can support them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, some of the worst politics in the world is church politics.
Oh,
and I'm
God,
not going to get into that.
That's
I'm not going to get into that because I've been caught in that a lot.
That's why my grandfather never went to the Southern Baptist Convention. He thought they were a bunch of phonies.
I can believe that. To feed you and to nourish you.
Yeah, my grandfather, when he preached, he was one of them old school Bible thumpers. I could show you his Bible when he comes down here. It's like curved from where he would go. And then, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm going to let it bleed too now, Carl, because this is important.
Sort of, you know, I mean, more than kind of being there with me some of the time, you know.
We'll be back. I'll get the service ready. I mean, the song's ready.
One Sunday, I do it. Isn't that? It's just that your ministry doing else. I'll be glad when the time comes that our ministry can be together as a husband and wife team more than you know you and your sister. No, I just think so. Just give me the great opportunity. I don't want to.
Frank, this has been my life dream to go abroad. This has been from a childhood day. I dreamed of being a great singer. Now that the chance has come.
You know, we were just talking about church politics. Here you go.
Go ahead.
A microcosm, but this is it. This is church politics. Pastor doesn't want her to go. Pastor can easily get a substitute for a week or two. Trust me.
It's worse than this. She loves being on the road, and he loves her.
Yeah.
You gotta dance when the dancing's good.
By the way, did you see that? You take a look at the they'll show together the pianist and the background. You see the section where all the handicapped people are. See that?
Yeah.
You got a couple people in wheelchairs. Oh, man, listen to that voice. Hot diggity dog.
Yeah. But that's the one thing people forget. You get a brass ring, they'll take you to your next goal. you get, and are you going to be a survivor?
One of the other things I just want to mention real briefly.
A messenger of God, you need to take that. Go.
Okay, let me go for a second. Okay, one of the things to look at here is the harmony between the three of these, because that's important. That's so much a part of gospel music that you've got your soprano, your second soprano, and your alto, FSA music. And they do the leads from each other. This all comes from blues music, too, and from vocal doo-wop. And I just wanted to make a clear point of this type of harmony that you hear with gospel groups. Okay, I'm done. Go.
Which they don't have because they're a good singing trio, and that's bass.
Oh, God bless. So good.
I know, but do you agree with that, what I said?
I didn't even hear what you were saying because I was listening to this. Go ahead again.
So basically, if your dreams take you to
Okay, you're breaking up, my friend.
I said, if you need to spread the word, you can.
Yeah, you should. Oh, look at this. Yeah, going into the congregation, too. That's part of it, too. I had the pleasure of being at two gospel fests in Chicago. Now, granted, Northern gospel is different. But I would sit on the edge of one of the seats so I could spread my legs into the aisle if I have long legs. Mm-hmm. And invariably, at both festivals, I'd have a black lady grab me and we'd start dancing in the aisles. It was one of the most wondrous things that's ever happened to me.
Yeah. Right. Going down south, going to church. C-H-U-C-H. Not going to church. And that right there is church.
We didn't do concerts.
Yeah. And it really did start changing around this era, didn't it, Carl?
Yep.
Years ago, that was the big thing.
And, of course, they talk about the revivals, and that's part of it, too. But the revivals would travel, and then, you know, from town to town, and, you know, towns would talk to each other, people. Oh, you got to hear this singer at this revival. And that's how a lot of their fame started. You know, it was like rolling a small snowball down a slope, and it get bigger and bigger and bigger, right? Pardon me, guys.
And you notice all of these older singers in this really missed those days.
Oh, yeah. Right. See, that's the difference between entertainment and worship.
Amen. You mind if I turn this song up? Down with it.
Oh man, I'd love to be in that congregation just clapping.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch this with, you see everybody, even the choir director is getting down with that song.
Oh, he better. The choir director at a black gospel church always got down. Here he is.
I even look.
Trust me on him.
Several preachers up the pulpit just get down. They got the spirit in them.
Oh yeah. God, well, boy, I'd love to have a choir like that. Seriously.
Yeah.
Not even with the lead singer. Just a choir who could move like that.
We too white to move like that, son.
Yeah, we don't do that. Okay? Sorry. Certainly not up north. Maybe down in the south, you know, you're a southern boy. I'm a northern boy.
So, even if it's for the south, I'm too white to do that shit.
God, yes.
Look at this. Look at this. Look at old grand. Look at grandma right
oh,
there.
Oh, I love her. I love her. Seriously. Love the hat, too. Damn.
Well, Mother had this program. You know, she was the first black to have a gospel program at Keele Auditorium. And it was called Bringing the Nations
to God. At Keele Auditorium in St. Louis.
Rosetta's
chart.
There's another one, man. He's the godmother of rock and roll.
Sister Rosetta Stone. I know.
Oh, yeah.
You Googled on her before.
Oh, yeah.
Or talked about it. Yeah, I've seen so many people with talent do that. Just take it for granted that that's just how it is. I'm just that talented. Gospel music, it will give you a primer on how to.
Yeah, but it's a lot more. Listen, you need a lot more work than just a couple of minutes you see here. Trust me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. God.
I got that same grin on my face right now.
Yeah, seriously. Go to the city. Never turn back no more. Oh, God bless.
This was nominated for Academy Award for Best Documentary, but of course it
didn't win, though.
No. Which goes back to our old saying, the documentary award at the Oscars is...
Yeah, it's BS. We're not going to swear during this show, by the way. We're not going to do
that. You said BS, that's closer to that. Say do-do. Do-do.
Yeah, do-do. Okay, I can work with that.
And that's what I call a haunted house right there.
Oh, yeah, no shit.
Ain't nothing there but memories and ghosts of the past. That big change, because I think ever since my big change had come, the shows are really starting to get better.
Mm-hmm. But that's the passage of time. You know, what it used to be isn't what it is now, and it's always the case.
You miss what was the best about what it was, but you forget what was bad back then.
Yeah.
Here we go.
But old Mississippi keeps on flowing. I believe that terrain is with Dr. Dolce. He's been very ill with two broken hips. But he made us all look around and see that that old coot can go a long time. And every time you see him, he's jumping on that walker. And I'm thanking the Lord for that. My prayer is for Mr. Dorsey to meet us in the next convention. Thank you.
Okay, if you could turn that down for a second, I just want to say something here, is that children's choirs and the idea of passing the torch is really important, and we've lost that as a general rule. You don't see many children's choirs, but to hear children sing like that, and that it's really important to me. And I think that's a good thing to point out here.
Well, don't you remember that was one of my biggest complaints when we started this show, is that people were greedy with the knowledge.
Right. And you got to pass it along. You got to pass everything along. You know, and we try to do that for our own way and doing our podcast. But here it's the music, and the music's so important. As much as we love film and I love film, music to me is more important. That music lives, I think, longer, especially if there's an emotional content to it, as you see here.
Well, and plus, how many movies have you seen that were almost great, but they had a crap soundtrack and it just totally ruined everything?
Well, you know, to me that doesn't matter. Here we're talking about music as an idea, as a force of belief and that. And this is what they're doing.
Yeah.
And to me, music has that ability more so than anything else, that there's such an emotional context and content to music that you can share that.
And with this era, when music stopped, the 80s, stopped being evangelized and became commercialized.
Right.
You would get crap like Kirk Franklin, Amy Grant, and them, you know.
Well, again, that's the commercialization. That's word music out of Texas, out of Waco. Word music, and they're more white gospel. I mean, they have their Kirk Franklins, but you know, they have their Amy Grants and that sort of thing. And that's much more white gospel. That's the difference between black gospel, white gospel. They don't try nearly as much to commercialize. I mean, you get your Kirk Franklins, but he's, you know, he's connected with Word. He's not connected here.
But what I'm talking about is, you know, and when it comes more important to have a big hit with your religious music than to spread the word. I just time checked this one. We only got 23 minutes left in this movie. Jesus Christ.
Be blessed. Let's make sure we don't swear. I did say the S word, though, so forgive me.
I know. A great movie and a great documentary will leave you wanting more and in before you're ready.
This I know Jesus loves. I know. Will we?
The consecration, what is the rededication of our lives to the gospel?
Okay, so this is the consecration. Okay, I wonder what they were doing here.
We
Altar call.
What?
Altar call. This is an altar.
Oh. Yeah, you got to consecrate the altar.
Right.
Lord, just looking at him and some of these things just makes you want to cry. You can see how much pain he is until he gets out on that stage, then boom, he's alive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's the standard.
In the name of the Mother, the Father, and the Holy Ghost.
Aww.
The show will turn in a second.
Okay, so this is an AME church, American Methodist Episcopal, or African American Methodist Episcopal. And so they do the anointing and they do the oils. A lot of the black churches don't, but the AME does. This is the convention, I think, right? Just amazing, you know, preservation of a specific type of service, and just wonderful to watch this. What was that?
Medicine time.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
One of the simplest and one of the sweetest religious songs ever.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Help me through. That's what they always tell the kids the thing. Look at him come to life once he's out there.
Oh, absolutely. But notice how they sing this, and they do it in a different time signature and everything. The elongated out, you know, it's a much different style.
But that's a song that's sung in about every church.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jesus. I couldn't hit that pitch.
Oh, hell no.
I'm going to bleed through a little bit because people need to hear this.
Yeah. Look at him. He is, he's going to town.
Oh, yeah. Look at that guy behind there and that one, the bald one. He was going to town, too. Look at him about to cry.
Yeah.
Did you do that baseball catcher stuff when you was a choir director?
Oh, sometimes. Not often enough, but sometimes.
We still got to set my grandfather peaching because of someone doing something like that, Carl.
Oh, look at that old Hammond, man. Oh, man. I love those organs.
Here's your paper napkin, Carl. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Sorry being quiet, but the singing is that damn good.
Oh, hell yeah.
And yes, this is considered really the best song about Southern gospel singing ever made.
Mm-hmm.
I'm impressed that you went back to seeing this in 82 in the theaters.
Yeah.
I bet you were blown away like you was at a Frank Zappa concert.
Oh, it was like, I not at a Frank Zappa concert, at a church, Black Baptist church. By that time, I've been at a couple and then played. And just, I've always been just so enamored of the spirit that's in these churches through their music.
And that's really what I'm missing from a lot of churches nowadays is the spirit. You got to let the spirit in you.
Yeah, but they don't have it. It's all entertainment. It's not about proselytizing. It's not about the beliefs through song. It's the entertainment through song. And that's much different. That's why this is so pure, seeing this, the pure music of it, the pure soul, the pure... pure belief and faith that these people have. It comes right through.
And following modern day churches, well, to quote one of my favorite quoted lines from Mr. Leonard Cohen, I love the mad place, but I don't like the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
one of the great things about what you're seeing here is the dynamics and the spaces of silence. He says, watch it. Yeah, that's a real choir director right there. Nice.
Yeah, that's what you dream about being. And that's not an insult to you. That's a compliment to him.
Yep.
Like every baseball want to be Babe Ruth and every choir director wants to be Tommy Dorsey.
Things he's done will live on.
Absolutely. I
believe that one of his songs says, remember me, not just for me, but for the work out there.
Amen.
I am walking. That's the Southern in me. I'm trained not to talk. You know?
Yeah, no. Hey, I'm not talking either. I'm a Northern boy.
Yeah, like, you can't tell what they're saying. And look at everybody just coming into it right now. This. Now, since we only quiet. Watching it with us, that scene with the white and the white bald guy's head down, that's always a big thing in Southern churches, is that you sweat.
Oh, absolutely.
So the real Southern church ain't got no air conditioning, no fans. They hand you out those little fans and whoop, 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 whoop. Mm-hmm.
But I think the Kinks said it the best, and that's why we were quiet and turned that up. And what is that, Carl?
I don't even know, Stephen. I'm
let
just
the music do the talking.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just so enamored in listening to this and watching it. You know, it transports you to a different place. Not just a different time, but a different place. And a different place to see people who really have faith and express that faith. It really is something to see.
Oh, yeah. And everybody tearing up and stuff and just... Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Normally, we'd be complaining about bleeding on this and this one. We're like, thank you, we can do it, and people can hear what they should hear. Right, Carl?
Right. Now, take a look at how much, that's one thing we really haven't said. Take a look at how much this takes out of the singers. Seriously.
Yeah.
And how much energy it takes. because you're moving all the time. Look at this. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I love that. Did you see that this woman kissed the old grandma? She looked at her like, what you think you're doing, girl? And they picked the perfect spot to end it at.
Look at that piano,
God,
man.
Damn,
go
boy.
For it.
You're going to kill that piano. You're going to kill that piano, Carl, man. Look at him. He's like, man, how am I going to keep up with that boy? Good God.
As I said, the secret weapon is always the gospel piano. Look at this. Can you imagine doing that at church? You and I would have a heart attack. Seriously.
I'd enjoy it.
Just Ooh. Unbelievable.
Even if you're non-religious, you need to watch this movie to see good singing.
Yeah.
Willie Mae Ford, Thomas Dorsey, Sally Martin.
The O'Neill twins.
The best that I can do. What do you think about them ending it with the blues song?
Oh, yeah. I love it. I love it.
All the Jesus of you. How about you? How about you? I think is your savior too. I'm sorry, it's hard not to listen to this and not sing, right, Carl?
Well, I'm not saying you shouldn't sing, but I tend to be quiet because I don't hear this type of music so wonderful. Okay, so take a look at this. How many of those are by Thomas Dorsey?
Yeah. What manner of man the stone is passing over? Jesus loves
James Cleveland is another person that was very, very big. Now, he was a northern gospel person.
Yeah. Hey, look below Gerald Nieberg. Who is that guy?
Nierenberg. I'm not sure. Brian Cooter's in there.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Brian Cooter.
But that's not in a shock because Ry Cooder always had a love for blues and Southern.
Well, you know, he's a musicologist. You know, he's done work with Indian musicians and Nigerian musicians and, of course, the Buena Vista Social
yeah.
Club, He's a musicologist. I love Ry Cooder. Freaking love Ry Cooder.
Well, I won't call him musicologist. He's just one of those that loves music and has that rare ability to put his love out there.
Very true. Very true. So, Stephen, I want to thank you for having me on. As many of you know, I'm not feeling real well, so I'm going to basically get off right now and just thank you very much for doing this.
We got several things to do before you are allowed to go.
Okay, well, make it quick because I'm dying here.
Well, one, what would you consider your favorite religious movie and religious movie?
To be honest, that's pretty easy at this point. It's a relatively new one. It's called Calvary. It's by one of the O'Donnell brothers, and it's a really, really good film. It's more modern in its approach, but it's Brendan Gleeson, and it's soul-shattering when you watch it. It's really, really good.
It's like
so I would say Calvary.
It goes into one of those, like I said, it asks scary questions.
Yeah.
And I would have to say my favorite, probably Godspell, sorry.
No, don't be sorry about that. Godspell's wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Godspell.
Please find a way to do that one for Easter, damn it.
I'd like to do both Godspell and Calvary. Because they really
do. Yeah, you can do Calvary on yours,
but
I want to do Godspell on mine. And speaking of yours, what do you have in the oven baking up oil?
Okay, well, we've got a show tomorrow. We're with Adam, and Adam and I are going to be talking about black representation in TV series, and we're going to be talking about more nuanced and important representation. So we're going to do that on Sunday. Okay, and on Sunday we're doing a music show, and it's going to be old school female singers. And this is in preparation for a series that Rachel's going to be doing. I'll tell you more about that on Sunday. My voice is going, man. I got to go. I got to go.
Wait, in all seriousness, that boy's up in his triple digits, isn't he?
I lost you. Hello?
What I mean is he's up in the 100s or plus now.
What do you mean?
Adam, the guy does the Friday show.
Well, I'm over 100. Well, now I understand. Man,
yeah.
I can't talk right now. I gotta
Don't
go.
Worry.
Okay. Next, so I'll talk to you later, man.
Next Wednesday, we're going to be doing starting with Women's Month, and we got some stuff planned up. And thank you all for listening. And say amen, Carl. And let's go.
Amen. Frog in my throat. See you later, folks.
Yeah.